The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to the Dirks Outdoor Show. This is your host, Dave Dirks. Glad to have you with us. Now, I'm really excited about today's show, and we're going to get a chance here before the break to talk to today's guest, which, if some of you don't know, yesterday, April 30th, was Arbor Day. And Arbor Day's been around, I don't know, forever. I don't know. We'll have to ask him if he knows how far Arbor Day goes back, because I don't know when it was established. I didn't get a chance to do that research. But Arbor Day is all about trees. And this is an outdoor show. And I said, wait a minute, when someone had contacted me a few weeks ago and said, hey, would you like to talk to somebody about, you know, sort of like the issues around trees and arbor and taking care of them? I jumped on it and I said, yes, because even if you're not, well, my take is if you have property and you have trees on it, then you're helping, you have that potential to help contribute to the wildlife that surrounds the wherever you live. And I don't care if you live in the city. I don't care if you live in a town. I don't care if you live out where I am in the boonies. You're going to have all kinds of wildlife that depend on the trees that are in that area for food, for shelter, for all kinds of things. You know, nesting. I mean, my gosh, do we have to go there? So so today with us is a gentleman. His name is Connor Smith. And Connor, I know you're an arborist and you're working for a company that's called Davey. And we'll talk about that too. We'll give them the website so they can check everything out. But Connor, I want to welcome you to the Dirks Outdoor Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me and happy belated Arbor Day.
Yes. Well, you know, the way I look at it is every day is Arbor Day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not just one day. That just happens to be the day reminder. But I don't think a lot of, you know, there's some people that don't even realize what Arbor Day is. They think it just kind of just goes right on by.
So Arbor Day is a day where you try to plant some trees to help residential areas, village areas. Here in Warwick yesterday, the Warwick Valley Gardeners planted some trees at our local dog park.
Awesome.
And Arbor Day started in the 70s, actually in Nebraska, from the Morton Salt guy.
And oh, right.
Under Teddy Roosevelt, it became more of a holiday, actually. And now it's starting to become big because we're starting to realize the benefits that trees do for our residential areas.
Yes, yes, and everywhere, quite frankly. I mean, anywhere you are. And we know the effect of taking too many trees out. We're seeing some negative effects, like in the Amazon, where they happen to be slashing and burning a lot of trees, and all of a sudden carbon goes up and pollution issues go up. It's just, it's a little crazy. But Arbor Day, national holiday, but I kind of looking at this, I'm looking at this, Connor, as sort of like this, every day is an opportunity to enhance your property and to understand how to better take care of the shrubs and the trees that you have. I have to tell you, I planted more trees than I can imagine over the years on my property, and between fruit trees and some oaks and whatever else I can get my hands on to kind of fill in some spaces. And I'm really kind of proud. I look back at some of them now, they're really big. You know, you look over 26 or 27 years later and they grew into big trees. But anyway, you know what we'll do? Maybe we'll take a break right now. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Connor Smith from Davey Proven Solutions for a Growing World. We're going to talk more about being an arborist in your own backyard. Stay with us on the Dirks Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Dirks Outdoor Show with your host, Dave Dirks. I am glad to have you here as spring 2021 rolls on. And I'm excited about this show because we're talking about one of my favorite topics, and that's trees. We do so much in the outdoors in trees besides hang off of tree stands. We depend on trees for so much. And so, as I said, if you're just joining us, we're fortunate today to have an arborist from Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, and that's a company that specializes in providing a whole bunch of different levels of services. We'll talk about that today in terms of all things related to trees. And his name is Connor Smith. Connor, welcome back to the show again. We're going to talk this morning about how people should view the opportunity that they have in their backyard to improve the outdoors and the environment by, you know, managing and adding trees. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
So when it comes to the backyard or the front yard, the first thing with trees you want to look at is safety. Safety is number one. There's some blatant things that everyone can tell with a tree if it's safe or not. If it's a very large mature tree, it's always good to have an arborist come out and look at the tree to determine if there's any interior defects in a tree.
Right.
That's the first thing we want to look at for is safety.
Is that internal rotting that can happen that
internal,
you can't see?
Internal rotting. Sometimes there's things in the upper canopy that most people won't notice, such as raccoon nests up there.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Even root systems. You know, in August, if you see any fungus on your lawn or in your mulch beds near the roots of your trees, that's another safety issue. That means the roots have rot.
Oh, okay.
So that's the first thing we want to look at is safety.
Right.
The next thing we want to look at really is management and aesthetics, how much somebody wants to be in their yard and what they want to do.
Right.
If somebody doesn't really want to do a lot of care, only wants to maybe go out and do, you know, a spring cleanup, fall cleanup.
Low maintenance
type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we got to select the right type of trees for you for that situation. Or make sure you have the right trees in your backyard for that. You know, we wouldn't want you to have forsythia shrubs all around your property that you got to cut down twice a year.
True.
We'd want you to just have a few large oak trees that might have a couple dead twigs to pick up in the spring after the snowstorm.
And those are the types of trees would be in the low maintenance category. What other trees would be considered low maintenance generally, or lower maintenance?
Lower maintenance.
Because I love oak. Oak is good.
Oak, you know, like spruces would be lower maintenance. White pines would be lower maintenance. Mainly any of your trees that have long life expectancies and live a long time.
Okay.
Now, if you want fruit trees, those are a tree that need management.
Right.
Those need to be pruned back. They grow really fast. They'll outgrow themselves. But they're also great because all the little fruits, we don't eat them.
Mm-hmm.
But the birds come in and eat them.
Absolutely.
Squirrels come in and eat them.
Yeah.
And you can get some nice birds, especially birds are on the rise again.
Yes.
There's a lot more. I've seen blue jays, hawks, everywhere.
Little yellow birds around my house.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife has a bird feeder or two hanging around, so that helps. But I've noticed that too. Of course, you know, we throw in the eagles. I mean, I see more eagles everywhere today than I did before.
Oh, my God, yeah. They're everywhere.
It's great.
I mean, they had that one they rescued off the highway not too long ago.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We'll have to come back to that one. I want to hear about that. So there's sort of the safety, and then there's the what do you want to get out of your yard? Are you looking just for low maintenance and shade, you know, just kind of like a beautiful yard? You mentioned a couple of trees like the oak would be appropriate for that. And then some of the fruit trees, a lot of folks like those crabapple trees. I guess that's popular, but not because we eat the fruit, but because I guess squirrels and everybody else eats
it. Yeah, they also have a beautiful flower.
Yes,
the flowers a big thing. That's a big thing with a lot of the fruiting trees is obviously they're going to have beautiful flowers for pollination to attract bees to them.
Now, let me ask you a question. I live in, you know, near Greenville, and we got like clay type soil. It's really horrible. I tried growing apple trees and they ended up getting brown rot because it was just too wet. The soil wouldn't drain. And there was nothing I could do to get it, so I ended up taking those apple trees out. How do you make sure that you have the right soil and the right growing situation in your front yard or in the backyard for the matching up to the tree that you want to plant?
That is very important.
Right?
Yes, very important. Around here, there is a lot of clay soils, and a lot of trees actually don't like heavy clay because it doesn't drain.
Sits there.
There's still a lot of options for trees that will grow in clay. And the best thing is if you want to plant trees to take a soil sample, see what you have. You can always bring it down to the extension and they'll tell you if it's
Cornell.
Cornell.
Right.
They'll tell you if you got more of a clay base.
Is that a free service that they do or do they charge a little bit?
Like just $30.
Right. So it's not much.
That's not much. I mean, at Davey, we do it for you for free too.
Right.
Come out and do soil samples. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks to get them back.
Okay.
But we'll tell you the texture of your soil.
Right.
And from there, we can give you good options of what to plant.
Okay.
You can also amend your soil when you do want to plant things.
When you plant something, taking the old clay, the clay soil out and putting other...
Yeah, you can just mix in some sand, mix in some more aggregate material into there to got a nice happy root zone for the trees if you really want those trees.
Yeah,
there's always solutions to figure out how to get the right tree.
That's what I've had to do. I do a lot of digging. I'm like a digger. I dig out, and you got to dig a pretty big, you know, depending on the ball root, right? Because you got to measure that. It's actually a bigger hole than you think. Yeah. It's not a little hole, and then you got to backfill all that with soil. It's quite a project.
It is. Right? It is. Yeah.
So the types of trees that you can pick. I mean, we talked about oak. What was the other tree we talked about? We talked about fruit trees. Are there any other trees out there? We get a lot of ash around here. What do you think of ash?
So ash, our tree that's now being attacked by an invasive species called the emerald ash borer. It's moved its way up from the ports of New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia areas a lot.
I think that's what's killing my trees.
Yes. So in the Hudson Valley, a lot of the ashes have been attacked already. There's some pockets of areas where the ash haven't really attacked yet. The closer you are to a highway, the more chances your tree's already been affected.
Now, what does that borer do? How does it kill a tree?
So it has a little drill on its head that it drills into the tree, and it puts its larva in the tree. And when those larva hatch, they actually go around the veins of the tree on the inside, and they eat all the material, all the conducting tissue in the tree, which is right underneath the bark.
Where the water would normally go up, and
then the nutrients would come down to store in the roots for the winter. And they eat all that tissue, that conducting tissue. Because the inside, like the heartwood of a tree, what you're used to like hitting your maul with, there's not much conducting tissue in there. Most of that's underneath the bark of the tree. So it eats all that up and then basically chokes the tree off.
Yikes.
And so they can't get any water up top of the tree, and it's killing them. And
what do you do to get them? I mean, is there any way to manage them, or are they just so prolific that you just can't?
So there is a way to manage them. First, really, we have to take an educated guess on how much of the tree could be infected.
You can't see it, right?
Can't see it, but there's signs outside the tree that if a trained eye can notice. And if the infection level is low, there is bark sprays and injections we can do into the tree that will kill the insect.
Right.
And fertilization can also help bring the trees back.
Okay.
Around this area, sadly, I'm seeing that there's not many left to save.
No. And I think that's exactly what happened on my property. They were good, healthy trees. And, I just noticed in the last, was it last year or last some, it looks like bark has been stripping off of those ashes. Yeah. What is that?
A lot of that is the woodpeckers.
Okay.
We don't give those birds enough credit. They really know that a lot of these ash trees are full of food.
Right.
And they've just been attacking them, pulling bark off.
Yeah, I've never seen them pull bark off. I mean, really, I looked and I said, what the heck? My wife and I were perplexed.
Yeah.
I was like, so it is woodpeckers. She suspected it.
A lot of it's woodpeckers doing that too. Yeah. Some of it can be just drying up and peeling off. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So in our ash, I mean, I guess we go through cycles. I guess, is there any end in sight to this borer, or will it just decimate like elm years ago was decimated as a tree because of other diseases? This is an insect. This doesn't sound good. This doesn't end well.
Well, it's actually, sadly, emerald ash borer's kind of going into the past on what insects we need to manage and control. It's going to be moving through our area and heading more north.
But does it just leave? Does it go and just...
Yeah, it just spreads out like a radius.
Right, but it doesn't ever leave. Will it attack other trees besides ash?
No, its proteins in its body can only break down certain species in the Fraxinus family.
Got it.
So, which is the ash family, so it should be okay.
Well, it'll kill every ash, and there'll be no ash, and then no bee. But that's how they kill themselves. They basically run out of food.
Run out of food, yeah. There's no natural predators here because the bug is from Asia.
Is it?
So, yeah. Yep. And then...
Of course.
And then also... a couple of universities have made hybrid cross ashes with other ones that don't get attacked by the bug or in areas that have already had this insect living in them for a long time and are starting to repopulate some of their forests with those different ash trees because they are important.
Yeah.
We need them for baseball bats.
Right.
Well, they're the best firewood tree in my opinion because you don't need a splitter to get them done.
No.
So
people say that you can actually just chop it up one day and throw it on and it actually burns. I don't know about that.
But I do.
You do, really? Huh?
Yeah. I don't have time to wait.
Yeah, I haven't. I've took a few, smaller ones out, and I have them in my wood pile, kind of drying out. And someone said, you don't have to. You can actually use them the same day you split them. And I was like,
It depends. They still have a higher moisture content.
Yeah, right.
They'll still smoke a bit, but they'll light off more than oak. Sometimes you got to wait 2 years before that's dry enough to use.
Exactly. So. Exactly. No, that's interesting. So let me go back to some of the things we wanted to talk about here. Hold on here. Okay. So now, and we'll get more into this when we come back from the break, but I want to start talking about, people will go to, you pick a place. They're great place outdoor where they can buy plants. Some, whether it's Lowe's or Home Depot, and they sell lots of stuff. But people go there, and I know all the trees and everything's tagged. It tells you, what is the best place. But I don't know if people are really judging the quality of the plants that they're looking at. What do they see when they go and they look at trees that are out there parked? What should they be looking at for picking like the better tree? Is there anything they should be avoiding?
So if you see any browning on any of the leaves or needles, that means those trees aren't being watered enough in the nursery they're at, or could have a fungal infection through that nursery,
Yikes.
Which will be brought to your property or transmitted to your property.
Yep.
The other thing we want to look for is when you're buying a deciduous tree, a broadleaf tree, is to make sure that it doesn't have any tight crotches on the tree,
mm-hmm.
which would be like V's that are included.
Yes.
Because those are weaker crotches and will eventually fail when the tree gets larger.
Yep.
You want to look for crotches on the tree look more like U's.
Got it.
That's something very important to look for. Same thing with evergreen trees. You want an evergreen tree that has one stem, doesn't have two stems.
Okay.
And you also want to make sure that when you're buying these plants, if it's in a pot, you want to make sure the root, you want to pull it out of the pot and make sure the roots aren't wrapped all the way around the pot, the inside of the pot.
Okay.
Because then that the roots will girdle. They're going to keep growing around like that, and eventually they'll suffocate the base of the tree.
Wow.
And also, same thing, you want to, any ball and burlap trees, mm-hmm. you want to inspect the ball and burlap, make sure that's not all dried out, that there's actually enough ball and burlap there. You want those at least... there's a specific measurement system for the right size.
Okay.
And I think it's for every inch of caliper, it's like 6 to 8 inches of ball and burlap.
Got it.
Diameter. So
little rule of thumb there.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay. That's all right. When we come back to the break, we'll talk about that more. Stay with us on the Dirks Outdoor Show. We're talking about all things related to Arbor Day and being an arborist in your own backyard. Stay with us on the Dirks Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. WTBQ. Welcome back. You're listening to the Dirks Outdoor Show with your host, Dave Dirks. I am glad you were with us today. Excited because if you're just joining us, we've been talking to Connor Smith, who works for Wicks Arborists right here in the Hudson Valley. They've got two locations, one in Chester and where was the other one you said?
Spring Valley.
Spring Valley, yeah. Yep. So Connor Smith is with us here. Connor, we didn't get a chance to talk about how you got into, trees and arbor. You're an arborist, right? Would that be correct?
Yep.
How did you get into this?
I've grew up on a small little farm on the weekends. My grandpa had a farm in Warwick. So we were always doing stuff outside. My dad was a landscaper and a snowblower in the winter at a Tuxedo Ridge.
Oh, sure.
Some of you might remember that place.
Yep, yep.
So I always grew up being outside all the time. And, of course, I helped my dad landscaping, and he had friends who did tree work when I was in high school. And then after high school, was going to community college, needed a almost full-time job as well.
Hey.
And got into doing trees. Then it came to finish community college. My grandpa said, got to get a real degree, join the military, or find a place to stay.
Right, right.
So I went away to college, and originally I wanted to go for forestry to be an NCON officer.
Yeah.
And
oh, great.
Then you figure out how hard it is to get a job doing that.
Yep.
And the college I went to, Paul Smith's College of the Adirondacks, had a program in arboriculture, which we did you know, in our class, we actually got to climb trees and use chainsaws in school.
The real deal.
Yeah, not many schools actually do that.
No.
And I already had all the equipment, already been doing it for a while. And I was like, you know, let me just go into this and see where it takes me. And luckily, I had a job making over $50,000 a year right out of college.
That's great.
I was able to work during college where I went to school, so it didn't come out of much debt.
Yeah,
it's really it's a great deal. Anybody looking for, anybody who has kids who want to be working outdoors, this is a great job for them.
Yeah, so often overlooked, I think, too.
You know,
it's like the trades that people forget.
There's not many schools that have a program in it, and so you get a job right away because we're finding out that a lot of cities didn't have the best management for their trees. We're having a lot of insects come in from other parts of the world that are attacking our trees. And the job growth is like in 20%. There's not enough people to fill the positions. Right. I'm telling you right now, I have cousins who went to school for marketing and stuff like that, applied to 200 companies after college to get a job.
Right.
I applied to one, was hired right away.
Yeah, I get it. And so that has brought you now to where you're working with Wix, which is a Davie company, which is a larger company, right?
Yes.
That's a larger entity. And I know you were kind of explaining before the show, there are a couple of divisions. Talk about Wix Arborist. What do you guys do?
So we're residential and commercial tree care mainly. We do a lot of houses, single family houses, condominium complexes, other facilities, some colleges, some schools, stuff like that. And we have a few crews who go out and prune trees and cut trees down and grind the stumps. We do that very well, but it's not the only thing we do. We also like to focus on the health and wellness of plants a lot. So that can be anywhere from fertilizing them spring, summer, fall, to controlling insect populations on people's properties, to helping people make the right decisions of what trees to plant when they get a new property, and also just how to maximize the green assets of your property. A lot of people don't realize what the landscape value of your property can add.
True.
Mature trees add a great deal of value to your property.
Yeah, which is the number one reason I've been doing it, because I recognize that as well. It makes it look great, and it's a whole lot of benefits there. Now, you guys are into the care and the maintenance of, but not necessarily selling any trees. Or do you get into that at all?
No, we don't get into the nursery things. I got a couple of good nurseries, depending on where people are located, that I've worked with in the past, that we've known, and can help you out with that. I don't mind going to the nursery with you either and pointing out some stuff.
So. Okay, that's good too. That's excellent to know. So Wix Arborists, that's one word, wixarborists.com is the website. I want you to go on there and take a look. They've got a lot of good information in there. There's resources. There's alerts that they have on their websites. It looks pretty good from what I can see here. So now, before we get to the next break, I want to talk a little bit more about what people can do to improve their landscaping around the house. We talked a little bit about, just as a kind of, for those of us just joining us, the quality of the soil. You said it's probably pretty critical to understand, you know, what you have, the acidity, the pH. You know, we were talking about my area. I've got lots of rocks and clay, right? And not great for draining, as I've learned the hard way. We talked about some of the insects, like the ash borers, which have come in and really have done a crazy, crazy amount of damage to the ash population, which is a very important wood. And I'll be honest with you, I for years didn't understand the importance of ash. I thought it was kind of a, it never looked right in my property. I was always, this must be a junk tree. And then I didn't realize, you know, they make bats from it, and it's actually a, it's a good wood all the way around. I had no clue. I was rather clueless, so I've been updated since. And then we talked about, you know, the idea that we started talking about planting trees. You really kind of have to understand when you're picking a tree what to look for. And you mentioned a few things there, making sure, and you know, if there's any brown on the leaves, you said, right? That might be a fungus or some other bad things. So you basically want to buy as healthy a tree as you can possibly get. No physical damage on it. Otherwise, then planting it, you got to really kind of pay attention. I mean, I always see the tags. They're pretty instructive usually about how to plant them. I don't know if people pay attention to that.
No, a lot of people don't.
They don't.
So when you plant the tree, you want to make sure it's got the right exposure for the tree. So if it's a full sun tree, it's got to be on a southern exposure. The other thing a lot of people do wrong is they plant the trees way too deep. You'd rather plant the tree a little bit higher than too deep.
Okay.
You want to, where that initial dirt is in the pot,
yep.
you don't want to plant the tree any deeper than where that dirt is. You want that dirt to be grade to your grade.
Okay.
And then also, that's same good. Thing with mulch. Mulch is beneficial to trees. It helps keep moisture in, and it helps regulate the temperatures in the summer, so that way there's not as much drought stress on the trees. Yep. But a lot of people do that volcano mulching. You see when it goes all the way up the trunk of the tree.
Yeah, what's up with that?
That's really bad for trees.
I thought so, but people do it all the time.
I don't know why.
I've even seen towns do it.
Oh, yeah.
All the way up the root. And my wife was telling me not long ago, she's like, oh, don't make sure it's not that high on the root because it'll rot out things, right?
I'd actually, so or, the tree does a lot of gas exchanges where the tree and ground meet. There's a lot of gas exchanges. So you want to make sure that area is open up. So you can firm the mulch up like this and like this.
And leave a space, though, is what you're saying, so that there's really no mulch touching the bark all the way down to the base of the tree, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I see that all the time. Holy mackerel.
That's a big thing. I mean, I show up on properties, and just by pulling away some of the mulch, I could solve some issues with people's trees very easily.
Wow. I have to tell you, there's a lot of people not knowing how to use mulch. But I learned the hard way, though, mulch years ago. I wasn't putting mulch around a lot of the trees. And I was, you know, I was watering constantly because especially after you plant them, you got to water them like crazy. But then I don't know what it was. I realized that I really needed to mulch. And once I put the mulch around the trees and the bushes, especially the one I replanted in my front yard, it was like a miracle. You know, they looked better. They held water. I was like, duh, Dave. I was really, I don't know what I was thinking. I had no clue.
Well, if you look in the natural world, you never find trees and grass in the same place.
Right.
So.
That's a good point.
They compete for nutrients like crazy. The grass will suck out nitrogen way before the tree can. Mm. So if you have a really nice shade tree, you actually want to get rid of some of that turf around it. Give it a nice mulch bed.
Yeah.
And that allows for that mulch to break down, help give natural nutrients back to the tree. It's really good for the tree.
Yep, I got it. Well, I do now. So I buy my mulch and I replace it and churn it up every year, you know, like I'm supposed to now. So I've learned my lesson the hard way. And then, of course, you know, pruning is another sticky issue. We can get into it a little bit here, and we'll probably have to come back and talk more about it. But, you know, fruit trees are one thing. You know, that's a whole science by itself. I tried that, and I wasn't that great at it. I was able to get a few apples, but I had other issues. But other trees, though, you know, oak trees and other trees you might want to plant in your backyard, do you bother with pruning? Just, you know, after you know how you get the normal tree is, what, 5 or 6 feet tall at most places? What do you do there?
So actually, when you get a brand new tree, it's the best time to prune it.
Okay.
So we call it young tree training.
Oh.
Basically, we're going through and we're taking out any crotches or branches that we're going to see as weak points later on that could fail. Or any branches that are rubbing against each other, those are not good either.
Got it.
That's actually the best time to prune a tree, because then you're going to have that tree growing and having the shape and form you want it when it's an adult.
Got it.
And then from there, you know, with larger trees, pruning out the large dead branches, all that stuff goes back to the safety we talked about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And keeping an eye on them. And of course, I mentioned watering, how important watering is after you pop something in the ground. What's your rule of thumb there?
With watering, you actually only want to water about once or twice a week.
Okay.
But you want to do a deep watering. So if you look at how the world works, there's no natural sprinkler system here.
Right.
We get rain once a week, twice a week.
If we're lucky.
If we're lucky. Right. Now it's getting less. But when it does rain, it comes down and that rain percolates down to the ground. If you actually do deep waterings, the roots will start chasing that water down to the ground.
Define deep watering.
So instead of putting a sprinkler on the tree all day long, just a little bit of water going back and forth, you go right to the base of the tree with the hose, 5-10 minutes, just
really
put a few gallons on there, saturate that down. Yeah.
Right.
Because if you're putting water all on the foliage all day long, it actually will cause problems with fungal issues on the foliage too.
Got it. So deep watering is a couple of gallons of water in one shot. And you're saying twice a week for a new tree or shrub or something?
Yep, twice a week.
Okay, and that's it. And of course, mulching keeping mulch around there to keep the temperature regulated, as you said, as well as keep moisture in there so that they don't dry out. What's important. Yeah, I see a lot of folks. I did it myself. I made a lot of mistakes when I was a new homeowner. You know, you don't get a war, you know, you don't get instructions when you're a new homeowner. You're like, yeah, I'll buy a tree and I'm gonna plant it over here. And then where you mentioned too, I guess when we come back, we'll talk about where to plant trees. We'll talk a little bit more about the shade and the sun and all the other things. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. Stay with us on the Dirks Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Dirks Outdoor Show with your host, Dave Dirks. And with me today is arborist Connor Smith, who is with Wix Arborists. Go to wixarborists.com and you can check out their site. They got a lot of great information on their website. Looks like a pretty good website design, too. It's easy to find stuff on it. And of course, if you're just joining us, well, you'll have to catch the podcast for a lot of what we've talked about. Connor was pretty generous so far with us in terms of sharing his insights and advice on plantings and the types of trees to plant and all the kinds of things you have to consider. Before the break, we were kind of talking about a lot of things in terms, especially in terms of watering. People, I probably have found myself now, based on his definition of deep watering, I probably have overwatered some trees. And, you know, you pick up something somewhere, maybe it's on a direction that says, I could swear it said, you know, water every day. It didn't say anything about deep watering. I don't remember. That concept never was in the direction. So I'm going back, oh, no, I overwatered trees. But we also talked about during the show, you know, the importance of understanding your soil, and there's just so much going on. What other things can people consider when it comes to, and here's a big issue. Now, this is, if we think watering is complex and making sure you plant the tree correctly so you're not planting it, as you said, too deeply. People, you know, go below. It should be level with the dirt in the pot, right? Level to your land. Let's talk about fertilizers. Talk about a confusing array of fertilizers out there. You go to any store now, and it's like, I stare at this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to get. Every plant's different. What do you do?
There's a bunch of different fertilizers out there, and a lot of people have different opinions about, you know, if it should be organic fertilizer, it should be the ground fish bone for fertilizer. Gosh, there's a million opinions about it. The main thing you want to know about fertilizing trees is to have a liquid fertilizer, not a granular.
Huh.
Because granular fertilizers are made from salt compounds, right, and they actually help dry the roots zones of the trees out.
No kidding.
Yeah. You want to have like a liquid fertilizer.
Boy, I've been doing this all, you know, I'm looking at you, I'm going, well, I've been doing all those backwards. Overwatering, using those darn fertilizer pellets.
Yeah.
Really? So a liquid.
Yep, a liquid. And you want to have a mix of fast release and slow release nitrogen in there.
Okay.
And water and soluble nitrogen.
Well, now see, you're looking at me, I'm going, it's already over my head, brother. I mean, so speak to me in terms of, like, you know, when you're looking at the show, what kind of elements of a fertilizer do you looking at? You know how they have elements, it's like 20, 30, 20, you know, they got the mix of, yeah, you know, whatever and whatever, phosphate to whatever. I'm so confused.
So the first number, nitrogen, is the most important.
Nitrogen,
you know, you really don't ever want over 30 on that.
Okay.
That's the most important. You know, a lot of times we're using stuff that's only like, you know, a 20, 10, 7. So it's really not super potent.
Okay.
It's pretty, and we want it to be slow release because if you put down just high nitrogen right away, there's a chance to burn out the tree. You want to put down nitrogen that's going to sit there and just keep feeding that
slowly.
Tree.
Okay, slowly. So that's the first number. So nitrogen. Yeah. All right, yep. Under 30.
Yep.
Okay.
And the rest of the stuff follows, and it's always less than nitrogen.
What's the other stuff?
Potassium.
Potassium.
Nitrogen, NPK, nitrogen, potassium.
Yeah, phosphate. See?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. There you go. And again, the amount of raise. But I guess the point is, use a liquid as opposed to the pellets that Dave Dirks has been using for years. And then make sure that it's not really too high in nitrogen because you don't want to dry out the roots, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess the other thing too is if you're at a place where you know it's that sells trees and is in the serious business of selling trees and shrubs, you want to ask the question. There's usually people there that can answer your question about what they recommend for the shrubs and trees you're buying, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Any good nursery usually has a horticulturist on staff. Somebody wants to open a nursery, they really like trees. They like plants.
Yeah, that's their thing.
That's their thing.
Yeah. Hopefully.
The other big thing when it comes to planting a tree is making sure those trees are far enough away from the house.
Okay.
You know, if you're putting a boxwood in, those are great to have in front of the house to cover the foundation. But you don't want to plant an oak tree 6 feet off the house because eventually it's going to be growing into your house.
Yikes.
So that's another important thing to look for is where on the property you're putting the tree.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Big trees that grow big, you don't want them too close. And I see that too, you know, where people have like giant bull pines right next to their house. I guess somebody planted them, you know, 30 years ago thinking it was a great idea. Not so great.
Yeah, you can keep them small by getting out there every year and pruning them. But I wouldn't want a ginormous, huge pine right next to the house. I'd want it in the back of the property.
I got it. So. I got it. That makes sense. So is there anything else? We talked about mulch, fertilizers. Obviously, consulting a professional is, you know, it seems to me that if you're really serious, because I'll be honest with you, I'm going to use my experience, you know, I probably wasted a lot of money on trees and shrubs that weren't appropriate, that I tried and died. And, I always say I don't have a green thumb. And it's primarily because I was ignorant and I chose to do my own thing or not really read the directions well. So I'll be the first one to raise my hand to go, oh my God, what a disaster. But as a homeowner for 26 years plus, I've invested a lot in my property because I spent all my time since I bought it getting it ready for when I do sell it. You know, I want to get, you know, I want it to look nice. I want the property to look groomed and cut, the lawn look great and the trees look great, look sort of park-like.
Maximum return.
But I have a front yard, and I think some people have this too, where I have a front yard where it's just a mix of trees, and there's some really nice maples trying to come through, and there's also ash mixed in between them and some other trees. What do I do for those lots, those small woodlots that people have? How should they be thinking about those?
Really, someone wants the best opinions on what to do for their tree. You can go on a website called treesaregood.com or the ISA Arborist website, International Society of Arboriculture. And on those websites, you can search in your areas where to find a certified arborist.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys out there with a chainsaw, but there's not many certified arborists out there.
Got it.
It's something that we have to apprentice for, get an education in, you know, take a test, and go to school every year to keep up credits on.
Right.
So those guys will give you the best answer.
Yeah, I think that's important. So they have, you know, they're insured properly as well.
Yes.
You know, that's I'll take that down for you. Don't worry about it. Hold on, let me go get the chainsaw.
You don't really want that.
I put a little Southern accent on there. I don't know why I do that one, but I do a Clem. I go, Clem. I'm like, Clem, can you do this? Yeah, I can take it down. And then the next thing you know, it's on your house. And you see little YouTube clips and stuff of people who have those, you know, got somebody said, yeah, I'll take care of that for you, neighbor. And didn't end up too well.
Yep, and then they disappear and you're left with all the bills.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's not worth it. So my point is, don't be a Dave. Actually, if you're a new homeowner, you're just kind of looking at your yard now, it's best to hire someone to bring someone out to tell you. And do all the homework now. Invest the money in an arborist. I think that's smart. I always said that with the people who have lots of land that they want to hire a forester. Mm-hmm. Spend the money because that's going to be your best bet. Instead of guessing and trying to go on Google and determine, you know, from Google you're going to get your PhD in arbory. It's not going to happen. So any last minute, as we wrap up here, any last minute advice you have, Connor?
I just want to point out that there's another insect moving into this area called spotted lanternfly, and it's
going to
attack a lot of maples, hops, hemp, apple trees. And if everybody could just go and look at the DEC page on it, see what the egg masses look like, because you guys are all outside a lot in the woods a lot. If you see these egg masses, if you could report them to DEC so that way we could try and contain this insect. It's going to do a lot of damage to our landscape and to our agriculture of the area.
It's a disaster. Spotted lantern
fly. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. And so, another Asian oriented?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
How do they deal with them over there? What do they kill everything over there?
There's natural predators over there.
Oh.
So America, it's kind of You know, it was the virgin land for a long time. So there's still a lot of things that can come here that we don't have any defense for.
Right, right.
Asia, Africa, Europe, they're all pretty connected, pretty close. Right, there's a lot more defenses for stuff there than here where everything has to cross an ocean to see.
Yeah, I get it. Wow, spotter and lantern fly. Take a look at it, folks out there. There's just a lot of bad stuff out there. That one around sounds really bad. The ash borer, at least, was located just on the ash species, right? But this one seems to be out of control.
It's got tons of hosts.
Tons of hosts. So beautiful. It's one of the worst. It's like COVID. It just kind of spreads out everywhere really fast. Where are they now? Are they in this area?
So we found some in Orange and Rockland last fall.
Okay.
Philadelphia has had this problem for a few years now.
Okay.
Other parts of New Jersey have had this problem for a few years now. It's moving up into the area. Hopefully the news and the media does a little bit more broadcasting for it, especially in like Warwick area where we really rely on agrotourism.
Yes.
If it affects a lot of our apple productions and our pumpkins.
The Hudson Valley at large. Think about it. We are the second largest producer of apples in the United States next to Washington State.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
That's a big deal. Holy mackerel. Well, I have to tell you, Connor, you just scared the life out of me right there with that one. But I do want to say this has been a great interview. I really appreciate it. We'll have you back again, I'm sure.
Thank you.
At some point in time, you're welcome back. I want to point out, folks, if you want to check out the site, they've got a lot of great information on it. Wix Arborists. Wix, WICKESARBORISTS. WixArborists.com is the website. And Connor, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And for those of you out there who are going to be turkey hunting and doing anything else, make sure you're safe out there. If you're fly fishing, hey, make sure you wear a wader belt if you're wading out in the water there. I don't want you to fall in and end up in a bad situation. But enjoy the season, the spring season as it rolls on. We'll be getting into, we're into May now, so June is never that far off, right? We'll see you next week. We'll have another great show. Take care and be great.